live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and folks, we are broadcasting from inside Renaissance Bank in beautiful Alpharetta. And if you are worried about the state of banking these days, we had another bank that hit the skids here lately, didn't go under, but made some headlines. If you're worried about the state of your bank and whether they're going to be around, I would suggest you take a look at Renaissance Bank. They have got a rock solid balance sheet with lots of capital. They're conservatively managed. And here's the best part. They're actually easy to deal with. They actually deal with you personally. And I know that from my own personal experience. So go to renaissancebank.com, find one of their local offices and give them a call. And I think you'll be glad you did. Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now I want to welcome James Brighton. James is with TMG. James, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. So, James, let's talk a little bit about you and TMG. How are you serving folks out there?
Sure. So we're helping customers, anyone that buys IT, optimize kind of their spend and how they can strategically purchase the best type of technology at the best cost and optimize their budget, especially, you know, after COVID. Budgets have tightened. Companies have gotten more conservative naturally in preparation for another wild world event that no one is ready for. But you can't let that affect how you do business and your operation and the effectiveness of your organization. So we're put in place to help companies strategically buy and purchase technology that sets them up for the best business outcome while optimizing their budget and resources that they have to allocate.
Excellent. I want to dig further into that, of course, but let's talk a little bit about you and your journey. Mm-hmm. What got you interested in doing this work, and what does that career arc look like for you?
Like I feel most people in most careers, sheer luck got me into what I'm doing today.
If most people are honest, that's what they would say,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And in college, I was a college soccer player, and I actually played for Atlanta United, the MLS team here before I went to college. So I had hopes of coming back to Atlanta United after college. And thankfully, I'm going to say thankfully now, I ran into some injury that sidelined my career. It took me on a different path. And so with about 6 months left of college, I had a decision to make. For the first time ever, I knew I couldn't be an athlete and I had to get a real job. So I studied for law school. And wasted all that time and got right into tech. Picked up an entry-level job working on servers. Mm-hmm. And as I learned the business and learned the technology, I was able to grow into a much more important role in kind of what I'm doing now and something that I really enjoy, which is helping customers in the space that I'm doing now.
So. Yeah, that's great. It's interesting how our adversities lead us to better things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a gift in disguise. So yeah. I'm happy where I'm at.
Even if we don't know it at the time.
That's right.
Yeah. 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 So you were going to law school. Did you know you had this tech orientation, or did you figure out you had it later?
No way.
Really?
If you had asked me, would you ever do tech? I would say no, no way. Not in a million years. Yeah. Boring. I don't know anything about it. And I wouldn't put $1 million on it. Mm. And it just happened. I didn't think I was going to be interested in it, but I needed a job. Mm-hmm. Turns out I really enjoyed it and I really loved it. I get to learn so much every day and I get to learn from so many people every day, kind of realize the importance that technology has in the world right now. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with it and fell in love with the process of learning it. And here I am, couldn't be happier.
And you also found out, I assume, that technology is really not boring, right?
Not at all. No, it's quite...
on the contrary.
It's quite exciting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always something going on. Why consulting for you as opposed to, as it were, working for one company and helping them with their needs? What charge do you get out of working with a variety of clients on their issues and problems?
Mm-hmm. I think one is I want to be able to do the most good for the most people mm-hmm. that I can.
Mm-hmm.
And my company is very much aligned in that mm-hmm. way of thinking. When our core value list, do the right thing, is number one. And we want to spread that not just to one organization, but to as many as we can. And given the nature of what we do, we're able to help in so many facets of technology that within one organization, we can expand our kind of service and help in so many different areas. So for me, it's just having the ability to, one, meet different types of people, work in different types of businesses, but to just spread the help that we know is really needed right now
mm-hmm.
and to help multiple organizations get on that path to optimization and being the most successful that they can.
Mm. You're at TMG now, and why TMG? What, I guess there are lots of technology consultants out there,
sure.
right? Why TMG?
The first, and there's a laundry list, but the one thing that I think separates us at a high level is how differently we operate for the customer. We are able to stay extremely customer-centric. There is a very unfortunate but big problem in purchasing technology and how the vendors and suppliers have been able to almost manipulate the industry to work in their favor.
And say more on that.
It is a very big pay-to-play landscape in technology. And so as you go through resellers and you go to purchase, the one thing you can be sure of as a buyer of technology is that somewhere in some way, this probably isn't the best option for me, but it's the only thing I'm being told. And so we try to help take that away. And we're able to tell the buyer, there's no pay to play with TMG. Mm. We are agnostic. We were made agnostic to the solutions. We sit on your side of the table and we want to help you make the best, most informed decision that you can for your business outcome. So we are trying to take away the hidden agenda of the buyer and help the customer.
You mean the seller?
The seller, yeah. We're
okay.
trying to take away the hidden agenda mm-hmm. of whoever's selling their product.
Sure.
And help them navigate all the noise and the distraction between multiple people as they evaluate technology.
This is interesting mm-hmm. because you deal with pretty good-sized companies. We'll get into mm-hmm. the details of that in just a second. Do you think that most of your clients and companies that should be your clients know that this is an issue, or do they know it but they don't know how to crack it like you do?
I think it's a little bit of both. Okay. I think at some points it becomes glaringly obvious mm-hmm. that, hey, there is something, it is obvious that this person is getting paid to sell this product and that's what they're going to give me. And at that point, you can tell that someone's an educated buyer when they say, I know this person is giving me the one option that gets them paid the most. Some people aren't aware at all. Some people, it's a shock and they don't even realize what it's doing and how it's affecting the business. And that's my job, is to scream that from the rooftops and try to help them in the best way I can.
Can you walk through an example of what that looks like?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the technology business, and I'll accept all hate comments from anyone that works in the industry, but in the technology business, there's something called a VAR. And so that's a value-added reseller.
Okay.
So your typical purchase model when you go to buy technology is you're going to purchase something through a value-added reseller.
Mm.
The thing about the value-added resellers is they are getting paid by the major corporations to sell their product. Everyone's heard of Cisco mm-hmm. and everyone's heard of Dell.
Mm-hmm.
So Cisco and Dell will pay X amount of dollars for all of the value-added resellers to strictly sell Cisco. So if...
And by strictly, you mean exclusively sell Cisco, regardless of whether Cisco's the best solution for the client.
Correct.
Okay.
So if you take a competitor of mm-hmm. Cisco, and there's one called Fortinet, some people have heard of it, some people haven't. If Fortinet is a better solution for this given business problem, but the guy you're talking to happens to be a Cisco leaning rep, then you're getting Cisco And he's not going to tell you that Ford Annette can do that better.
Mm.
Myself and where my company is positioned is we act in a similar facet without the back end money coming in. Mm-hmm. So we are then able to say, here's Cisco, but also here's Ford Annette. Now you get to decide and evaluate as a customer which one works best for you. We think Ford Annette is going to be the best option because of reasons A, B, and C.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to pick Cisco, go for it. Doesn't hurt us, but we just want to give you all the options to make the best possible purchase.
Yeah.
And that's a problem.
Yeah. Me. Yeah. No, that does sound like a problem. You earlier, you mentioned that at a certain point, the way the conversations end up flowing, that a client may sense that something's off and that they're talking to someone that has an unnatural relationship,
mm-hmm.
that where they're benefiting if the client makes a choice that representative is pushing them toward.
Sure.
What do they need to look for? What is somebody like? Because that's really the person that needs to pick up the phone and call you, right?
That's right.
When they sense that's happening. So what do they need to look for?
Couple key indicators. First one is if you're getting like one or two options presented to you,
mm-hmm.
or you are only seeing one, it's probably a good sign, because in technology now with the growth, probably for every business problem, there's a million different companies that can solve it. Mm. Just in there's minor tweaks in how they do it and mm-hmm. minor differences. So if you're looking at one or two, and there's the off case where there's one company that can solve this one problem,
mm-hmm.
but that's not typical. So if you're getting one thing brought to you, then that's probably an issue. But even if the process is working and it's comfortable and it's working for you, at some point it will, and it may already be happening, but it will affect. And so if you are working in this setup currently and you are just taking the advice of whoever's on the other side and not evaluating multiple solutions, you're just, you say you need this to solve a problem and they send you X company to do that, you should probably take a step back, evaluate, what does our current process look like today?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we maybe a little weak and why? And I can say with a fair amount of certainty that the things that you're purchasing, while they might work, may not be the absolute best solution for the business outcome that you're trying to achieve, which is what we see a lot. It mm-hmm. works good enough, but it doesn't work exactly like you need it. And that becomes a very big issue, especially in technology, around security and things of that nature. So I think everyone should just reevaluate process.
Mm-hmm.
Is it hurting us today? And how do we think it might be hurting us? And if you think, yeah, it is, give me a call.
James Brighton is with us, folks. He is with TMG. He's a technology solutions advisor with TMG. Let's talk about some specific issues, or I guess themes in mm-hmm. technology that are pretty big issues right now. One is cybersecurity.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine there are lots of solutions out there for cybersecurity, and businesses of all sizes are having issues with hacking, ransomware, mm-hmm. et cetera. Talk about what you're seeing there, and I guess the mistakes that you see businesses making when mm-hmm. it comes to getting the right protection.
Sure. So I'll start with your second question. Unpreparedness and ego are the two biggest things that I see.
Ego?
Ego.
Say more about ego.
So everyone is very comfortable in thinking, this can't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as you get into larger companies with direct people. You know, I'm not saying that they're bad at their job. However, if you let your ego get in the way, you can become unprepared and a little bit lackadaisical in how you how you fight this. And mm-hmm. what we see today and what is scary about cybersecurity and why it's so prevalent is I don't know if people really realize the magnitude of what they're up against. So in 2024, cybercrime is going to total just around $15 trillion in damages. And that's going to increase probably $3 trillion every year over the next 5 to 10 years,
mm-hmm.
which is absurd.
Yeah.
So if you take all of the cyber attackers, put them into one geographic area, they would be the third largest country by GDP.
That's the fact of the year for me. Wow.
Yeah. So that is the sheer scope and magnitude that people, I don't think, realize. This is not, it's not an issue like you see on TV where there's a 15-year-old genius in a basement with a hoodie on.
Right.
They're business organizations. Mm-hmm. They have, and this has been documented, they have CEOs and CFOs and sales teams. They are doing business, and they're, the way they make their profit is hurting. It's important that you understand how to approach cybersecurity. And as unfortunate as it is, you have to approach it like war. It is cyber warfare. That's mm-hmm. the only real way to put it. It is war on your business. And there's going to be $15 trillion in damages this year. And the US is going to spend $9, $10 billion on training. So there's a huge discrepancy on what's being taken and what we're putting into the fix.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot. It's pennies compared to what they're up against. I think that's why, and kind of that movement of, there needs to be a mindset shift of, hey, this is what we're actually up against. Mm-hmm. We're up against a network of very smart but vicious people trying to do harm to our business, and we can't let that happen. So it's, most people are smart enough to fight it. It's just reduce the complacency and get creative in how you do that.
And I can see how you talked about the various choices there are. I can see how the choices are bewildering.
Sure.
When it comes to cybersecurity fixes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for, if I laid out a piece of paper and showed you every cybersecurity vendor that's hit the market in the last week, there's, you wouldn't even be able to read it. There's probably so many. And it's such a rapid pace of change that for an IT leader or a business leader, it's almost easier to just do what you've always done, because you don't have, there's only 24 hours in a day. And so while you're working as an IT person, you just want to make sure that everything is up and running. Your day job is not to go evaluate technology and study up on what's new coming out. It's make sure that all lights are green and blinking, and that's great. But then you got to go home, and you got a family, and you've got kids, you've got to cook dinner, and then you go to sleep. When can you keep up with everything that's changing? That's what we're here to help with, is differentiate and cut out the noise in that technology decision process of, all these five companies look the exact same to me. I can't really tell. I'm just going to go with the cheapest one. It would be nice to know, where are the small kind of but key differences in those different suppliers and those vendors?
Yeah, for sure. Now let's talk about cyber insurance and compliance. Another particular area that has a lot of complexity to it for buyers. Do you consult on cyber insurance?
Absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
So this is going to be, it's been a problem the last year-ish, and I think we're going to see it become even greater of a problem because the prevalence of cybercrime is so high and has been so high and so public. Insurance companies are starting to scare. Obviously, if you're an insurance company, you want whatever you're insuring to not happen. It's happening a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So insurance companies are looking at this as a losing battle, is, why are we actually insuring something that we can almost guarantee is going to happen at some point? Doesn't make a lot of financial sense.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing now, and Lloyd's of London just dropped all coverage on cybercrimes from nation states. So anyone at odds with the United States, if there's a cybercrime originating from one of those states, you are not covered by Lloyd's of London. So that's like the first leader in the exodus of the insurance policies. So what's going to end up happening, and this is going to affect all businesses, this is going to affect small business to Amazon. Policies are going to get more expensive because premiums are, they have to go up mm-hmm. because it's the only way that insurance companies can, you know, justify keeping it. So they have to get more expensive. And on top of that, the policies are going to get much harder to meet with much, much less coverage. So in a cyber insurance policy, there's a list of, let's say last year, there was a list of 10 things that you had to have in place in order to qualify for the insurance. So if you didn't have those 10 different security controls in place, you couldn't get insurance. I think what we're going to see is that list is going to now double, if not triple. Now it's going to go up to 25 or 30. That's expensive for a company to do. Mm-hmm. That's not, and it's not quick. It's not a quick fix, and it's certainly not a cheap fix. So to qualify just to get insurance is going to be a huge financial leap for a lot of companies. So now you have to ask the question, is it worth a company being insured, or are they going to risk it and try to self-insure? What does that look like? How is that going to hurt the business? How much risk are you willing to take up front? And you need insurance. Mm-hmm. You need it because there's a more likely chance than not at some point your business will be hacked. That's just the reality of it. But how prepared are you, and how much capital do you have to get ready for that?
Yeah,
from the insurance side. So it's a dangerous and touchy subject right now as far as qualifying and what the policy covers and things like that.
AI, talk about AI and like how, what the kind of work you do in that area. Mm-hmm. Obviously it's a exploding part of what the technology piece of where a lot of companies are going. Mm-hmm. Talk about how you work there.
Yeah. And I'm going to go ahead and be another bad guy on this one. I don't give AI the hype that it gets publicly, but it is the hottest button in 100 years
sure.
of things that have come to market. AI has been around for a long time. This was not the last couple of years. Like we've seen that no one invented it in 2019. Like it's been around mm-hmm. for a while. ChatGPT obviously has taken it to a very public stage. So everyone wants it and everyone wants to get their hands on it. And it's very cool what you can do. But in reality, it's a bit of a fad. And if you are a company, and I'm speaking from my realm, so not necessarily personal use, making cool graphic pictures, mm-hmm. but more how to use AI in a business, unless you are a Fortune 50 company, you're probably not going to be able to have the financial resources or the human resources to actually make AI work for you. Like it takes so much to build and understand and to make it actually what people think it is, that it's not going to be worth it. So it's got this peak of adoption, and everyone has AI embedded in their solutions already. So anyone that you buy now has an AI option, the majority of it. Mm-hmm. There's going to be some piece that is artificial intelligence, whether it's call monitoring or whatever it may be. And that's where businesses are going to get their AI, but they are not going to be able to, unless, again, you're a very large corporation with thousands of people that can work on it, you're not going to be able to go buy artificial intelligence and then tweak it to make it work for your business and create something that works for you. It's not going to happen. Mm. It's going to be, you're going to buy a product, you're going to want AI, you don't know why, because you're not really going to use it, but you want it to say that you have it, and it's embedded in the solution, and there you go. That's how it works. But right now it's at this peak of adoption, and it's going to fall very quickly. I see this falling out of the news quite fast in the next 24, 48 months.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks.
That's right. I'm calling it.
James Brighton with TMG. James, we'll have you back in 24 months or so and see how all this is working out.
I'll have to come back and eat my words on
that. You may not. You may come back and crow. So we'll just have to check in with you. But let's get to, I guess, the types of clients that you work with, the types mm-hmm. of clients that are best fits for you? Size, industry, what have you?
Sure. We work in all industries, work around and with a bunch of different compliances. So we're in the financial industry, we're in the healthcare industry, manufacturing, aeronautics, we're in all of it. Mm-hmm. We don't have a vertical or industry that we specifically specialize in. As far as size of customer goes, it's not necessarily size. It's more what they're doing is what's important to me. Are they buying technology is obviously a big one. And then what I look for typically is over 50 employees and multi-location. Now I get very up into kind of revenue streams of $500 million with thousands of employees, which that's our sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Not to say that we ignore the 100-person company that is buying technology and has the same exact needs as a large corporation. We work with both, and we work with both in similar facets, and our services work for both types of customers in the same exact way. We are free to the customer always. The customer does not pay us. We are a free service to the customer. So for a smaller business, we work great because there's no cost to us. Mm-hmm. For a big business, it's great because there's no cost to us and they're buying big, complicated solutions that they need help sorting out. So,
got it. Mm-hmm. So, James, talk about a success story. I think our folks would love to hear that at this point. A success story that illustrates the great work you do.
Yeah, I think with kind of what we do as far as security and things like that, I'm not going to name
any names. You don't have to mention names.
And this actually isn't my success story. But
your firm's success story.
It's the firm's success story, and it's a great one. And it's an ongoing process right now with a very big retail company that has, you know, hundreds of sites. And what we are able to do for them, and by we, I'm not actually even involved in this, but I'm able to witness the greatness from the sidelines, per se. Mm-hmm. Completely redoing their stores and giving them an entirely new kind of book of technological advancement as they go to modernize what they're trying to do, mm-hmm. and the speed of which they're able to accomplish it. I think it's been a year that they've been working on this, and they're already piloting stores. That's a typical 5-year project. So the speed and the success that they're having there to advance their technology needs, but quickly and very cost effectively, it's been really fun to watch and really great to watch because I get to learn a lot. A project of that size, seeing what we're able to do and help a customer like that has been great. So
that's wonderful. Great work from TMG and James Brighton. He's a technology solutions advisor with TMG, and you are TMG's a national, maybe international for all I know, company.
Internet. We work international.
Yep. Terrific. This show will be heard in here in North Fulton, but anywhere there's an internet connection too. That's good stuff. Let's get to the really important question, which is how folks can get in touch.
Sure. They can get in touch at my email. That's jamesb@taptmg. Visit our website, taptmg.com. A lot of great things on there. Or look me up on LinkedIn, James Brighton, and shoot me a message. Would love to connect with everyone and have a conversation about their technology.
James Brighton with TMG. James, this has been great. Thanks for the work you're doing and your colleagues, and we're delighted we could shine a spotlight on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for having me, John. I appreciate it, and I've had a great time today.
Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate you. Hey, folks, just a couple quick thoughts here before we let you go for today. I've released a new book. It's called The Generosity Mindset, A Journey to Business Success by Raising Your Confidence, Value, and Prices. If you're a solo or small professional services provider and you're having issues with your confidence, your positioning, your business development, expressing your value, and your pricing, this may be a book for you. Go to thegenerositymindset.com to learn more. If you want to email me directly, you can. john@johnray.co is the way to connect with me on that. And I want to thank our listeners, you are just fabulous. You continue to support the show in any number of ways, sharing the show, liking us on social media, and you help us live into our mission to be the voice of business in the North Fulton region and beyond, because there's no place for business leaders like James and the 1,200 or others that we've had on this show. There's not a place for them to tell their story. And we provide that, and you support us in that work, and we're grateful to you. So for my guest, James Brighton, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.